Dream team guys, you can take off to that. Thanks again, worship team. You may recall last week we considered Jesus giving the Great Commission. And this is one artist's depiction of Jesus on the Mount. Most likely this scene is separate from the ascension scene, but it's similar. Even when he ascends to heaven, he says, "And you shall be my witnesses." And he explains that from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. But here he gives this Great Commission. And remember the word great, we took it apart and we said great equals huge, large, it's important. It is the thing that we're supposed to be about on planet Earth. It's huge. It's large. It's important. The most important thing. And it's a commission. It's an act of committing or entrusting a person or group with supervisory power or authority. In other words, this authority has been transferred to us. This is a commission. You know, sometimes we refer to service in the United States. I think this is pretty well standard worldwide. If you're a commissioned officer, you have the authority of your country to represent them as an armed soldier, no matter what branch of service. How many of you have served as commissioned officers for your nation? Okay, yeah. So humble guys, okay. But anyway, we've been there and we've done that, right? But you and I are part of something more important than being a soldier for a nation. We're part of this Great Commission, which Jesus gave as his last words. He wants to make it clear, you know, look, I have authority over life and death, over all earth and heaven. And now I want you to do something. I think most of us remember Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority." Now that's comforting. More authority than the presidents, the prime ministers, the dictators, the terrorists. "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations." And this is what we're supposed to be doing with our lives as Christians. Doing what? "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." It wasn't long ago in a small group I asked this question. I said, "Do you think this is a command for just the 12? And there was a person in my group who answered honestly. He thought, "Yeah, it's just for the 12. But I highlight that, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, including this Great Commission. So the Great Commission is for all of us, not just for those apostles. Is what all Christians should be up to and doing, and that is making disciples of all nations. And so it's not the great suggestion. I've read a book called The Great Omission, How We Neglect It, but it's not a suggestion. This is what you and I, DBICC, should be all about, making disciples. And so that naturally leads to the question, what does a disciple look like? And we looked at one little artist's drawing, and that's kind of cute, right? So actually, when I look at you and I look at me in the mirror too, I say, we're kind of cute like this, you know. But the original disciples, they look more like this, these guys. And we know, 7 of them were fishermen. 1 was a tax collector, and 4 we don't know about. But to make a long story short, Jesus said, "Yeah, you come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. But you don't have to be a fisherman to be a disciple. You don't even have to be a man. You have to be a believer in Jesus and a follower." But he went on to tell us what we looked at last week, is that disciples, if you want to know what they look like, they abide in Christ's word. And we unpack that word abide. They're at home in God's word. They're delighting, they're reading, they're meditating on the word of God daily. They sing the word of God. They pray the word of God. They go to small groups and talk about the word of God. And they share the word of God with their friends. Abiding in Christ's words. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, If you abide in my word, you're truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you're not abiding, you're not my disciples. But if you are abiding in my word, you are truly my disciples. That's what Jesus said. We looked at that last week. But remember the promise, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Free to do anything that you want. No. Free to be the person you were created to be. A God reflector in all of life, in the workplace, in the home, in the community. Now, you can't be free to do that if you're not abiding in the Word and truly being His disciple. And so it's not a question of how do you do with your quiet time? Did you read the Word? No. Did you embrace God? Did you worship the living God? Did you meet with Him today and then go do life? And the Word of God, you speak about it when you rise and when you sit and when you go to bed at night. Yeah. Okay, so that's what we saw. That's from John 8. Looked at a little bit of application. Remember I said IT, the Word of God. By that, make sure that on your devices, your phones, your pads, your pods, whatever, have some of the Word of God. A translation, download it, put it on your Bible. I like a good study Bible. There's many out there. But start with, if you don't have anything at all on your favorites page, make BibleGateway.com your favorite page. GotQuestions.org is always good to have. You can go there real quick. But yeah, there's all kinds of apps. And just to show your hands, how many of you guys got something on your phones or your Bible? Yeah, you see, so that's what I mean. Saturate, abide in God's Word, have it in your electronic devices. Living life is a devotional which the elders decided that we should include as a budget item. And it's out on the table as you go out, pick it up. If you missed out last week, this is April's monthly readings. And it helps you go through a Bible passage one every day. Bonnie and I use it, and we love it, and we like to mark it up. And maybe later on I'll have some other people explain it as May comes around and how they've been blessed by it. But mission articles on new music albums, worship albums, it's pretty cool. And I really enjoy some of the commentaries and the thought-provoking thoughts that are written there. But it's basically helping us just get in the Word and abide in the Word daily. So I really recommend. Pick up A Living Life. There should be some copies there if you haven't gotten yours already. Another way to abide in the Word is join a small group, whether it's Marilee's, some of the men's groups. There's various groups. You'll see them listed in the bulletin. Join a small group. One group that's created for those of you who are quite new to DBICC is what we call Discipleship 101. And got another clipboard. So after you sign up for the barbecue next week, and what we like to do is play a lot of games out there, guys. If you haven't come, bring your kids. We play crazy games. And one is what I like is the barbecue cup. We play a little football, round football. But we also have the other football. Sometimes we play a little rugby. But anyway, come on out. Sign up today, okay, for not only that, but Discipleship 101. Saturdays from 12:30 to 2 in May, and Sundays 12:30 to 2, both in the church office, and the dates are there. If you're a pilot and you find out that, it's just hard for me to find 4 weekends, we'll do something, okay? We'll customize the times for you and your family. But this is a Discipleship 101 gets you a chance to see what does DBICC believe and how do we act on those beliefs. Christ is central. The gospel is central. Making disciples is central. But how do you do it? You know, what does it all look like? So if you've been through new membership class or Discipleship 101, raise your hand. And let you see. So you can ask any of these people. They can let you know what goes on in that. But again, sign-up sheet. I'm going to get rid of my clipboard now. Yeah. So what do disciples look like? Well, last week we saw that not according to James... but according to Jesus. My true disciples abide in my word. And today, we're going to see that my true disciples carry their cross. It's interesting when we were singing that one song, you know, thank you for bearing my cross. We identify that Christ, the exchange life there, he bore my penalty and his goodness comes to me through faith. But there's a sense, though, you've got to bear your cross. Bonnie can't bear my cross. The elders can't bear my cross. I've got to bear my cross. And you as a Christian have to bear your cross. Now this is Jesus' words, not mine. Where does this come from? Luke 14 is one of the passages. He says, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Other passage says, take up your cross daily. You just don't take it up one time. No. You got to do it daily. But whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. What comes to your mind when you think of bearing a cross? What does it mean? Well, let's don't torture our mind too hard, okay? Bear with me. Some of you may come from a background like me where we don't like pictorial depictions of Jesus. But probably the Passion was one of the Passion of the Christ was one of the clearest movies I've ever seen that showed his suffering. And this actor, I think, is Jim Caviezel. I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but he is an American. Simon the Cyrene's helping him out. Some would say, well, he should be more dark-skinned. Okay, all right, we can say that. But look at Jesus' face. This is an artistic rendition. We don't know if it was close, similar to the real thing. But I can't imagine when I read the scriptures and it describes Christ carrying the cross that he was happy-go-lucky. He sweated drops of blood saying, Father, if it be your will, take this cup from me. But he knew before he even got to Jerusalem, and he told his disciples, I'm going there to die. So I want to encourage us to think about how are we doing as Christians, really bearing our cross. He did super. He did great. And we know he doesn't stay like that, beaten and bruised and bloodied. He raises from the dead in a glorious, transforming body. So that's one of the reasons in the Protestant tradition we don't like to have crucifixes. But on the other hand, our Catholic friends want us to remember what? He suffered. Don't forget it. And he calls us to what? Pick up our cross. Well, does anybody recognize this guy? Any Anglicans out there? I want to say Jim Mobley or something, the Archbishop of Canterbury. Help me out if I'm my memory. I'm just trying to pull this up. But that's the Archbishop of Canterbury, and every Easter they have a procession of the 14 stages of the cross, and they do this kind of thing. Okay. That was in Dover, Kent. This is another cardinal within the Anglican Church tradition, and he's holding a cross. I think we would agree that this isn't what Christ had in mind, right? Is to bear crosses like this. there's our royalty family member, little cross. How many of you guys are wearing crosses today? Anybody? Pam? A few. I won't say any more names, but excuse me, Pam, you raise your hand. This guy, yeah, he was wearing a cross. I remember I tried to find a cross. I remember when I came to faith. I came to faith at age 8, but I was a prodigal son from age 12 to 23. But when I turned around, I found this cross somewhere in a what do you call these places that sell junk? A flea market. And, excuse me, but at the flea market, I found this cross, and it looks similar like this. It kind of looks kind of ladylike, right? But anyway, I wore it for a couple years, and then I think it started to tarnish my skin and stuff. It was bad. So anyway, I quit wearing it. But no, that's not what it means. We know it's not wearing crosses. This is not what it means. We're looking at something very, very serious. A mark of discipleship, a mark of a follower of Christ. So what do disciples look like? Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot. It's not an option. Okay. How many want to be a disciple? All right. We want to be disciples, okay? But you cannot be my disciple if you don't do what? If you don't bear the cross. If you don't pick up the cross. If you don't carry your cross. Now, what does this mean? Well, in context, both in Matthew's gospel and Luke's gospel, in the context, it's like this. If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Now, the translation here uses the word, connecting word, and. Is it in addition to? Is it a contrast? Is it a continuation? Explaining what carrying the cross means. I don't think we need to go there, but it's in the context of hating father and mother. Hold on. The Bible tells me to do what? Is to love. To honor. I just had a verse this week that says, husbands, love your wives and don't be harsh with them. But here I'm supposed to hate father, mother, wife, and children? Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. But love them, respect them. Brothers and sisters, by this they'll know we're Christians by our love, but now Jesus is telling me to hate. It doesn't stop there. You know, while you're out hating everybody else, you might as well hate yourself. Yes, even your own life. So such a person cannot be my disciple. You can't be my disciple if you're not doing that. Hating in a righteous hatred. We'll get to that in a minute. But that's from Luke 14. Okay. Further down the context in verse 33... that's Jesus has told using a parable illustration, if you will, a mind picture. You know, imagine a guy going out to build a house and he doesn't count the cost and he doesn't have enough to finish it. One of Bonnie and I's favorite programs is Grand Designs, and sometimes these guys just don't have the money to finish their design, and it's a pretty good idea, but they run out of cash, and they just can't move in, and you feel for them. You can't wait to 2 or 3 years later when they revisit. Maybe they've redone the thing. But, if you're going to be a builder, Jesus says you count the cost. If you're going to be a king and go out to war, you're going to count the cost. This is how many soldiers are going to have to die. This is how much... arms, I'm going to have to supply them and as well as food and all the whole thing. You've got to count the cost for war if you're going to be a king. If you're going to be a disciple of Christ, you got to count the cost. What does it cost? I saw Tina mouth the words, everything. Let's all say that together, everything. Well, that's kind of together, everything.
Everything.
Yeah. I was in some youth camp, I remember, and the guy was saying, hey, you like to be a Christian? Yeah, okay. Well, what do you got? What do you mean what I got? You know, I'm just a young guy, and you know, someday I'm going to get married. Well, okay, who are you going to marry? Well, I don't know just yet, but, well, give whoever that is to God. go on and you can talk about bank accounts, talk about houses, everything you own, you know, you bring it to God. Everything. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has possessions cannot be my disciples. So as I prayed for the giving, when we give to these green things as they come around, it's monies that we want God to use for his kingdom and glory. But more than that, all of my money that sits in the banks, that goes in towards investments, it's for you, Lord Jesus. And I got to take care of my family. I know you want me to feed them and take care of them and supply their needs, and we've got to do that. But you know, this is your money, so now how do you want me to use it? And talk to God about that. So in this context of Luke 14, when we look at what does it mean to be true disciples, whether you separate the two or put it all together, love their family and their self less than they love Christ. Okay, you know, we're commanded to love one another as you love yourself. You've got to have some self-love. But for most of us, selfishness seems to come naturally. And we, you know, love others more than yourself, to esteem others higher than yourself. Love your family and yourself less than you love Christ. Only you can search your heart. Only me can. For James can search his heart and finds out, do I really love Jesus more than Bonnie, Ruth, David, and Joseph? My mother and father have deceased. Who do you love the most? Bear the cross and follow Christ. All right? Yeah. Relinquish everything. Everything I have is yours, Jesus. I mean everything. Every penny, every investment, everything I have. My golf clubs are yours. You know, somebody wants to borrow my golf clubs? You know, they're mine clubs. And, you know, you won't scratch this thing, will you? I like it. It's a pretty nice one. Particularly this new bag I, you know. I play golf maybe 3 times a year. Can I not lend my clubs to somebody? Okay, don't come and ask me after service. Okay. But yeah, relinquish everything from the big things. Okay, I what am I going to do with these monies? To a little thing like a golf club. Well, these are complementary ways of describing complete commitment. I'm all in, Jesus. You know, the life I live now, I live, base my eternity on, is on you. You alone. Okay, but what does it mean to bear my cross? For me, these are a couple of slides here that make some sense. A disciple, James, must not deny himself, die to self-will, take up his cross, embrace God's will, no matter the cost, and follow Christ. So none of us has resisted sin to the point to where we shed our blood. But Jesus did. And he took up his cross, which we're so grateful he did, because he had the work of redeeming us, of purchasing back us to be a people of God. But he says, now I want you to go pick up your cross, and you too got to make sure your will is in check with Father God's will. Now, his Holy Spirit lives in you, he lives in me, and he is there to help us. But remember what we need to do from last week? We got to abide in the Word. If we're going to try to follow Christ and know God's will, what it says concerning sexual orientation, what does it say concerning marriage and divorce, what does it say concerning money and how to use it, what does it say concerning parenting, what does it say concerning husbands and wives' relationship, what does it say concerning praying, rejoicing, and not worrying? We need to abide in that Word, listen to it, and then become doers of it. And that only happens when you take up the cross, surrender our will to God's will. The central point of cross-bearing is that love of God and His kingdom must take precedence over every other human relationship and every pleasure that life affords. So that helps me a little bit. Are we doing okay? Understand bearing the cross? It's nothing about what we wear around our neck or taking something down for a religious kind of a ceremony. How are we doing at cross bearing? Okay, how are you doing, James? Let's look at this. I think this is a good question to ask ourselves. Am I surrendering my desires to Jesus? Pleasure. This is one of the biggest weekends of pleasure in the city. And it's called Hong Kong Rugby Sevens. And I've asked somebody already, you know, do you want to go to McSorley's afterwards and watch Rugby Sevens? I don't know, is anybody going? But to make a long story short, you know, it's enjoyable, it is. And then you say, well, I got tickets for Sunday morning, and I think you've heard me say in other years, you know, go see the games in the afternoon. They're the better ones. They're the finals and all that. But you have to ask yourself, as a Christian, the Word of God tells me what? To keep the Sabbath holy. What does that mean? That's Old Testament stuff, James. No, Jesus came to fulfill that. And He told us what Sabbath keeping was all about. Yeah, it's okay to go to work and be a doc and help people out and do different things that you need to do, fly airplanes on Sundays, whatever. Some of you are domestic worker friends. You have to work on Sundays. You don't have the say in that. You got to do it. But if you have a choice, you have to ask yourself, okay, Lord, I know I'm supposed to go worship today. But you know what? This Rugby 7 thing is really fun. And I promise I'll be your witness. I'll speak to others about Jesus if you'll give me an opportunity. Or after about 4 pints of beer, you don't say anything about Jesus, right? But I don't want to be so harsh. I don't want to be judgmental. Because there could be people who are at Rugby Sevens today with one intent and purposes, and that's to build and foster relationships for the kingdom of God. And there'll be players on that pitch who I know are trying to glorify God through their sport. And all the people who work to support Rugby Sevens and the people who have to host all those boxes, they could be involved. They're Christians. It's not by choice they're there, but they have to be there because of their work. So we don't want to be too harsh. This morning I got on the bus and I saw a neighbor, and he's visited us a couple times and here at church. And I said, hey, you going to Rugby Sevens? I mean, he had just a t-shirt on and shorts and stuff. And he said, no. He said, I'm going over to the prison in Lantau. What's that called? You run around the reservoir, Sekip? Huh? Chimon? Oh, Chimon 1 is the ladies' prison, but the men's prison, Sekip or something like that? You runner? Okay, anyway, there's a men's prison over on Lantau, all right? He's going over there to do ministry. I thought, man, you know, praise God. He does that once a month when he's here. Okay, pleasure, whatever it might be, okay? Now, you can think of pleasure, what you eat, your whatever it is. You're talking to Jesus about it, you know? Remember, whatever you eat or drink, do all for the glory of God. I mean, that's pretty basic life, right? Eat and drink. What TV show you like to watch, huh? Yeah. I picked up my cross. I'm living for Him daily and allowing Him. How much sport do I watch? Yeah. Possessions. Okay, what do you want? What do you really want right now? You know, there might be some of you, I'd like a diamond ring on my hand for my boyfriend. You know, that's what I'd like. That's okay to want that. Most of you are married, Sandy. I know you don't want to. But maybe some of you ladies would like a new diamond. I don't know. But then you have to say, is this what Jesus wants me to have? And is this something that I need to approach my husband? Or if you're a professional lady, you want to go out and buy some jewelry. Whatever it is, you have to ask God, you know. This is what we're getting at possessions. What do you want? Maybe you want to buy a home. Maybe you want to sell your home. Business investments. What do you do? Possessions. did anybody get that email, the churchwide email on the stuff, on TVs and sofas and things? Anybody get that one? Okay, so most of you got it. Did the photos come through? Did they? Okay. Well. Anyway, I know who that person is, and I'll be glad to coordinate if you'd like any of that kind of stuff. But Ev sent me an email that said, you know, there's two requests for TVs, and I thought, man, I thought I'd like one of those TVs myself. You know, why didn't I talk to this person first? You know, and I was thinking about it, it's like. Bonnie already knows. Bonnie's saying, you don't need a new TV, James. And I don't. Mine works fine. It's not the newest model, but it works okay, all right? So when it conks out, then I can worry about a new TV. But I don't need one right now. This is what I'm getting at, guys, with possessions. It can be a little thing, it can be big things, but my will is submitted to your will. That's why you look at your monies and your income, your expenses, and your budget, and you try to do it in such a way that pleases the Lord. You're His steward. And then you say, how much in my budget do I give to God's work? Now, in the Old Testament, it was 10%. But in the New Testament, as I look at Jesus, what really excites Him is when people give 100%. He didn't criticize the Pharisees for tithing, but He criticized the Pharisees for thinking that tithing saved them. So I encourage you to look at your monies and come and talk to God. How much money do you want me to give for your honor and your namesake? I think 10% is a great place to aim and start at. And if you're not there yet, try to work toward that. But don't be satisfied with 10%. Trust God. Go beyond that. Okay, reputation and ambition. I often ask young people at this time of year, you know, there's a few of us in this congregation who will be moving on. They're going to university. I love the English expression uni. You know, we don't talk like that. We go to college in the United States, but people talk about going to uni, and I like that, going to uni. Where are you going? Cambridge, Stanford, or Harvard? I don't know. And they're going to this school, and I ask them, why are you going there? Or what makes you think that's a school for you? Well, you know, they have this thing, you know, this kind of program. It fits me, and, you know, I kind of like it. I always want to go to school there. What I'm looking for, young people, I believe that for God's glory, He wants me to be at this uni. That's where I can spread His kingdom. That's where I can grow and become more like Christ, because the beginning of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding is the fear of God. And I got on my knees and I prayed about this. And I want to tell you, my son prayed about Wheaton College, and he went to Wheaton College and he turned away from Jesus. I don't understand it all. I don't have all the answers. But I know that Jesus wants young people to bear their cross and go to uni for Christ. You don't have to go to uni, young people. But whatever you do, do it for Christ. So reputation, ambitions, whatever it might be, those have to be surrendered. That's what bearing the cross means. And there's one young family who's coming to join us in a couple of weeks. You'll get to meet them. But they're coming from the States to here, and they definitely have done so in a way that they believe this is the best thing for us as a family, to glorify God. That's so refreshing. Now, some of you have to go as the market demands, and we were talking last night in our elders' meeting that things are getting a little shaky economically, and some of us don't have the luxury of going anywhere in the world for employment. But when you do have to make a change, or you sense that in God's wisdom, His Spirit is guiding, you've got to start thinking through the future. Bonnie and I thinking of the future, where we're going to go after Discovery Bay. You've got to do that. You've got to plan. But your will be done. My will is surrendered in your hands. I really don't want to live in California, Lord, but if you want me to live in California, I will. I'll go there. Okay. Or maybe I really don't want to live in North Carolina, but I'll go to North Carolina. I seek His righteousness and His kingdom first. To become more like Jesus is really when I get out of bed. I want to say, I want You to work on me today, Lord. I want to be more like You. I want to just see You more clearly. I want those eyes to be open. Come reign in me again. Today. I pick up my cross, and I want to understand You. I thank You, Lord. I know my righteousness comes through faith, but You say You got me here on this earth, and all these trials and tribulations and challenges that life is throwing at me, from the work, my physical health, relationships with family members, all of that stuff out there that's hard is shaping me and making me more like Jesus. And because in the next life, where You and I are headed to the kingdom of God to live forever and ever, we'll have no more tribulation. Take heart. Jesus said, I've overcome the world. And you and I will go to a new job, a new heaven, a new earth. So seek His righteousness and His kingdom first. So how can I help the kingdom of God advance? Thank you so much, everyone who came out yesterday to help with just a little thing like the Easter egg hunt. That's one way to seek His kingdom and His righteousness. Praying this morning, someone in our prayer circle, just brokenhearted for those who don't know Jesus yet in DB. Praying for those neighbors, those people you see as you get on the bus, the people you see when you go for a little walk. Seeking His kingdom first. Okay, how are you doing at cross-bearing? Let's pray.